I want to call your attention to two opportunities that you have today. When the offering plates come by, you have received in your newsletter a pink envelope for Epworth Children's Home. We traditionally place an offering in the offering plate for Epworth Children's Home. That is even more important now because Epworth is no longer a line item in our apportionments, and they depend very heavily on us for their support. So think long and hard about what you're able to do for these precious children in Columbia for our future. Another opportunity that you will have today is to place in the offering your pledge card. You have heard about it before, and most of you received a letter in the mail, but there are also pledge cards, because mine's filled out, I folded it. They're long beige cards, and this takes our pledge from now until next April. Some of us have already pledged to the capital campaign when we were doing our regular pledges. So you just need to figure out what you want to add from December to April to your pledge card. So please remember those two events and put them in the offering plate when the offering plates are passed. I'd also like to call your attention to the Mother's Day ribbons. If you didn't get them, they're Mother's Day ribbons, white and red, on the outside of the sanctuary. Coming in are both entrances to the sanctuary. So please get your ribbons if you did not. And there's also a notice in the bulletin about the kids' corner bags and the men's dinner and program on the 20th at 6 p.m. There will be more information coming about that. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Please stand and join us in the call to worship.
Come to this place of prayer. God is calling us. Come all who are burdened. There's healing here.
Let voices of praise greet the one who calls us. Be glad together and sing for joy.
God reigns among us and fills the world with light. We are invited to make our home with the living God.
Please join me in the invitation found in your bulletin. Maker of all things, ruler of all people of the earth, we bring our prayers of thanksgiving and praise. You have provided the water of life for our baptism. You have fed us with the fruits of the earth and nourished us through your word. Meet us again in the joyous encounter of earth, blessed source of all things. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Amen.
The epistle reading is from the second chapter of Ephesians, verses 1 through 10. You can find this on page 235 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. I will be reading from the Message version. This passage presents the immeasurable nature of God's grace, which has totally changed both our reality and conduct forever. Listen now for God's word to us. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief, and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it, all of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For the King reigns strong, stand up. I want to thank the choir for doing that. And if you didn't like it, I'm sorry. There's something wrong with you. That is a wonderful song. That is a wonderful song. That is the song out of the old Cokesbury, number 153, that in my very first appointment, my very first church, it would just open to 153. That was one we sang every Sunday night, and I've always loved it. Now, as we go to our time, our prayer time, and I have misplaced my concern list up here. Well, I apologize if I leave out some folks. We have a lot of we have a lot of concerns, and we have Riley Watson, who is recovering. We have Hayden Eaglehart, who is recovering. Buck Lawson, recovering. Bill Logan at home, recovering. Again, I apologize if I leave out any of our concerns. And that way, we have a thanksgiving today for these confirmands who are coming in today as full members and taking the vows for themselves. You as a congregation and as Sunday school teachers and as parents and grandparents promised when they were infants to expose them to the Christian faith, to raise them into the Christian faith until that time which they could choose for themselves. Well, today is that time. On a Mother's Day Sunday, an appropriate time to bring them in. Yes. Oh, yes, Emily. Emily Haskin, also recovering from an auto accident. And others, I encourage you to lift up during our time of silent prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we remember before you the mothers of this world. For girls becoming women who are just becoming aware of the awesome power of their bodies and responsibilities in their lives. For women who are now bearing new life within their bodies and await with joy the coming of a child. Let us pray, Lord, for them and for your close comfort and for what we can do as a church to support them. For women who face the task of motherhood alone, with no partner to share the burdens. For women who must balance the work of motherhood with the task of earning a living. Lord, we lift them before you. And for women whose children are more of a burden to them than a joy, who live with fear about the way their children are growing and developing, we lift them before you, Lord. For women who watch their children leave home and enter the wide world, who look with joy and pride at those children and who wait for their further growth, we lift them before you, Lord. For women whose task of mothering is done, but who cannot let go, who now feel compelled to hang on and demand a loyalty that is no longer appropriate, we lift them before you, Lord. And for all the women who have gone before, who were our mothers and grandmothers, whose lives we now celebrate, we do lift the memory of their love and influence before you, Lord. O God, before you the generations rise and pass away. Now we place in your hands all those for whom we are concerned and love and pray that you work things together for the good, for those who are ill, for those who are troubled, for those who are financially uncertain, for those who have doubts and fears. Lord, we lift ourselves and our church and its ministry before you as well. And we pray as your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now, before our offering is collected. I want to let you know, you've seen the posters all around the church, and some of you have received letters at home. Some of you are visiting today and may not be aware that we have a one-year pledge campaign going, a mid-year pledge campaign to pay down the debt. And it should realistically be paid for in about 3 or 3.5 years. We already have some 40-something thousand pledged. Today was the first day we began to receive those pledges. There are some pledge cards, I believe, out in the narthex and out here if you wish to have to fill one out and to turn it in today. But let that be on your hearts as we realize together that it does take our financial support to outreach in ministry, to do our programs, to keep the lights on, and to reach out beyond this congregation into other parts of the world. This debt, when it is retired, will enable us to do more of those things more efficiently. So please consider pledging for this one-year pledge for paying down our debt. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto you. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
morning. How is everybody? What is one of the things special about today? It is Mother's Day. I want us to think. That is a big hint, isn't it? My sign down here. What we're going to do is come up with some things that we would like to thank our moms for, and we're going to write them on this piece of paper, and then we're going to all go out after the prayer, even the elementary children, and we're going to put it up on a bulletin board, and I have a surprise for you out there. And then the elementary children will come back in here and enjoy the rest of the service, and preschoolers will go out for extended session, okay? So what are some of the things, some of you older ones can write your own. What are some of the things that we want to thank Mom for? Caring for us. Okay. You want to come write some? Cooking. Okay. What are some of the others? Jalen, what's one thing you want? You can write it on there. And then hugs. Okay. What else? Helping with homework. Go on and finish that. Oh, okay. Taking to school? Right. What's another one? Kissing? Giving kisses? All right. Being sweet. Not like candy, you're right. Being sweet. What? Buying you things? I want to write that one. All right. What about loving us? Do they love us? All right. Those are some wonderful things. Do you know that Jesus does a lot of those things too? He might not take us to school, but he does love us. He doesn't help us with our homework, but if we pray, we can ask for guidance with our homework. But he can give us a hug. We can be in the dark and we can be praying and we can almost just feel Jesus' loving arms around us. Jesus promised his disciples that he was going to always be with them and he would always love them and love all of us. And so on this special Mother's Day, we need to thank God for our mothers, but we also need to thank God for Jesus for loving us. Can you repeat the prayer after me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our mothers, and thank you for sending Jesus to teach us about love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want all of you to come out with me.
Please join me in the Mother's Day prayer found in the insert in your bulletin. Gracious God, we thank you for adopting us into your family through the miracle of your grace and for calling us to be brothers and sisters to each other. Today we pray for our mothers who have given us life and love that we may show them reverence and love. Lord, in your love, for mothers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends support and console them. Lord, in your love. For women, though without children of their own, who like mothers have nurtured and cared for us. Lord, in your love. For mothers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children, and have not sustained their families. Lord, in your love. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now let us greet one another with the love of Jesus Christ and pass the peace of the Lord.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated. We'll not have the gospel lesson today. I'll be preaching from Ephesians, so I'll be referring back to Ephesians throughout the message. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't want my addled brain to be the reason to leave out two very important prayer concerns. And one, Jay Pendergrass, of course, who was in North Carolina preparing to receive a bone marrow transplant. And the family of Joyce Roark, whose memorial service we had this past week. Let us be in prayer for Walter and the rest of the family as they grieve their loss. Now, my sermon today may be more than I should have attempted, but I want to pull together Mother's Day and Confirmation Sunday, my favorite anthem from the old Cokesbury hymnal, Love, Mercy, and Grace, and Ephesians 2, and do that within about 15 minutes. It may be ambitious. I'm going to start with a story you may have heard before about a little boy, not quite confirmation age, in Sunday school one day, and he just was exuberant about God, and he said, God made everything. And another little boy said, that's not so. A lot of things are made in Japan. Well, today, Mother's Day, and just in a few moments, through the confirmation ritual, we bring in some fine young Christians, the product of their mother church. A part of mother church's job is to make Christians, to make disciples. Well, ultimately, Christian disciples are made by God, but we warehouse the ingredients. We, the church, make the invitations. We serve up the nutritious food of the gospel. We give programs and missions and ministries for them to serve within and to grow. But God makes them. The seed is the gospel. The rich soil is indeed God's love, mercy, and grace. And the final earthly product is a life overflowing in good works which God has always intended and desired from His people. Mothers and mother churches teach some similar things. I remember when I was a child, my mom used to say, play nice, have good manners, and do not embarrass the family. Now, she's not around now, in case some of you are wondering. You know, she's not here in this congregation, so sometimes I am probably embarrassing the family, like just now. But that's a little bit superficial. Play nice, have good manners, and don't embarrass the family. It's a little bit superficial, but you know, moms are human beings. And they're fallible. And churches are made up of human beings, and so churches are fallible. And it is so much easier to be superficial, isn't it? We sing about love, mercy, and grace, but we do not always live love, mercy, and grace. Sometimes we live exactly the opposite. And I guess that would be hate and strict judgment and unforgiveness. There is so much deeper in the Christian faith than just nice, 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 and smile. And then go home and close the door and say, I'm glad that's over with. Down beneath the superficial nice, we're talking about boundaries. And when we talk about boundaries, we eventually get to the subject of sin. Paul's talking about sin in Ephesians, and these young people will confess that they have sin that needs forgiving as they are confirmed. But sin is so unpleasant. Sin is dirty, and we don't want to put that on the table like a centerpiece, but there it is. Sin is the centerpiece of the human condition. And there is Jesus at that same table that we all sit around. Jesus presiding, and Jesus with a cross, reminding us of how much it cost God to love us because of our sin. Jesus, in a way, I guess we could say He outed us all as sinners. Why in the world would I want to talk about sin on Mother's Day, on Confirmation Day, on a day when I'm lifting up love, mercy, and grace? Well, God's love, which overcomes hate and overcomes our selfish rejection of God and God's boundaries, requires at least a little bit of conversation about sin. And mercy, whereby God, the righteous judge, finds a way through His compassion not to strictly enforce judgment, which we would deserve, but demands a conversation about why we require a merciful God to be in a relationship at all. Sin is transcending the boundaries that God put around us to protect us. Sin has built a kind of a wall of its own, a wall between us and God, and a wall between us and other people, a wall that only God can remove. And so God's love and God's mercy and God's grace are absolutely and completely required for us to ever have any sort of a real relationship with God or a real relationship with others. One of the best definitions of mercy came from a mother who once went before Napoleon seeking the pardon of her son, who was in jail and condemned to death. Napoleon told this mother that it was the man's second offense, and so justice demanded his death. But the mother said, "Sir, I'm not asking for justice. I am pleading for mercy." Napoleon said, "But lady, he does not deserve mercy." And the mother said, "Sir, you are exactly right. And it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is what I am asking for." And Napoleon said, "Well then, I will show him mercy." And her son was saved. And we thank God that because of his mercy, he did not give us what we deserve. What a mother to go before Napoleon on her son's behalf. When you love someone, I'm changing gears a little bit here. As a parent, mother or father, when you love a child and you want to keep them safe and you also want to keep them happy, I think you probably have come to the realization that these two desires, to keep them safe and to keep them happy, are often in conflict. Because keeping a child safe means putting a fence around them, drawing boundaries around anyone, makes them unhappy. It seems to limit their freedom. But if you pretend there is no need for any boundaries, then they won't be safe. Not everything we might want to do is good for us or good for others. Some things are dangerous, some things are hurtful, some things are hateful, some things are deadly. God loves us and erected a very simple set of boundaries for life on earth, the Ten Commandments. And if you boil the Ten Commandments down, you come up with love God and love neighbor. And we break every one of those boundaries in thought and word and in deed. We break them all, either in thought, word, or deed, pretty much every day. Unless we sleep late, then we might only break 9 before bedtime. Stepping over those loving boundaries is what sin is. Self-willed, selfish, and self-destructive behavior. Paul declares all humanity to be spiritually dead, and you, he writes, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We can be and are alive physically, but at the same time spiritually dead. I spent about an hour yesterday up on the roof adjusting our satellite dish, and I ran the diagnostics first, if any of y'all have ever done this before, and it said everything was connected wonderfully and we should be getting a picture, but we weren't. Because the dish had come loose and it wasn't pointing in the right direction anymore. We couldn't get a strong, consistent signal, and we had no way to watch a movie or to really understand the plot and the point because it kept going out. Life is like that, without a connection to God. And Paul says we are all born with what we seem to have everything that we need, but we are pointed, as we are born, we are pointed away from God, and we can't get a clear signal or understand the point or the plot of life itself. Spiritually dead, one way to say it, or pointed in the wrong direction, another way to say it, listening to static and making up the plot as we go along. And when we do that, we climb over and under and around the boundaries of love that God has laid out for life on this planet, and we stomp on others as we do. And we can't say, as used to be popular, "The devil made me do it." Because the truth is, we pretty much do as we please. Have you heard about the little boy who was being disciplined by his mother for kicking his sister in the shin and then pulling her hair? His mother said, "Sam, why did you let the devil make you kick your sister and pull her hair?" And Sam said, "Well, mother, the devil made me kick her, but pulling her hair was my idea."
We all do pretty much what we want. And we're in the same boat. And we need and rejoice in God's love and mercy and grace that much more when we take an honest assessment of what we were and of what God is making of us. Love, mercy, and grace have no deep meaning unless and until we understand how desperately we need love and mercy and grace from God. God alone loves us beyond our sin, beyond our hurtful boundary breaking. God alone has an alternate plan for our lives that works for everyone. Moms try to get their children ready to get into the game of life. And Christian faith, though, is not a game, though some do treat it that way. Christian faith is an entirely new playbook of a way to live with God and with others. It is a way of getting into God's game plan for life. Famous football coach Amos Alonzo Stagg, he used to try to keep his substitutes prepared by asking them questions as they were on the sideline. He had a habit of keeping his players' heads in the game by just suddenly popping a question at them while they were sitting there on the sideline. One afternoon, Coach Stagg turned to a sort of a fourth-string player who hadn't seen a single minute of play all season, and Coach Stagg barked at him. He said, "You, Carter, what would you do if we had possession of the ball with 1 minute to play, the score was tied, and only 4 yards to go for the touchdown?" And the young man stammered and said, "Well, Coach, I'd probably slide down to the end of the bench so I could see better." Well, today our confirmands are saying, I hope they're listening, they're saying, "I'm ready now. I'm ready to get out on the field by myself. We've been coached. We know the plays. We've been empowered. We're ready to get out on the field by themselves." Well, that's not exactly right. They're ready to get out on the field and live God's game plan with God's help. Ready to get off the bench and off the sidelines and say, "World, I publicly declare that I am a child of God, and with God's help, watch me. I'll be living God's game plan from now on with the help of God, best I can. Sometimes stumbling, but watch me." In the spirit of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, it is grace that I made God's team, grace that I now know God's game plan, and grace that I am called to play for God in a world which really doesn't care. All I do is made possible by God's free grace. I shouldn't even be here, but here I am, and with God's help, I will glorify the one who called me. Sin, Paul says, leads to death. Inexorably leads away from God and away from others and toward a singular, lonely kind of destruction. Sometimes it is prison and bars, and sometimes it is a prison of bottles or needles or pipes or promiscuity which demeans and mocks true intimacy, or a prison of arrogance or of hate or judgment. Our personal desire and greed and on and on and on. But prison walls high made of sin or eroded valleys low, separating us from God and from each other and from our true selves. These are all just different flavors of sin. It always separates and leaves you disconnected vertically and horizontally and alone. God's love, mercy, and grace desires for us to be connected vertically and horizontally and to live fulfilled and to live truly and deeply and at peace, being what we were meant to be. Remember, says St. Paul, one time you were separated, alienated, and strangers, but now in Christ you have been brought near by the blood of the cross. So act like a child of God. Live out those good works that God has wanted from the very beginning. Live out a life that lifts up Jesus Christ. The world doesn't have an authentic picture of Christ except the picture that the world sees in us. We are God's workmanship, says Paul. We were created in Christ Jesus to do these good works which Jesus has already done before us, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's workmanship.
Why are we here? We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Unquote. By the grace of Jesus Christ, may it be so for us. Amen. Now, I call your attention to a high and holy moment in the life of this church, and I will tell you, nothing to my other confirmation classes, but I think I've already started saying this, and I don't think they can take it any other way, except this is my favorite confirmation class. I think ever in 28 years, really. Two of them want to be president when they grow up, and when they say that, they don't blink or smile. They mean it. One will have to be vice president, I think. Yes, I'd like to invite the parents, the Sunday school teachers, the grandparents, those whom they have invited. If they have invited you to come stand with them, then it is time for you to come stand with them now, to stand behind each of these. If you've been invited by them, then I invite you to come stand. We'll wait just a moment. Please turn to the insert in your bulletin. The service will be found there. Okay. The churches of God and will be preserved to the end of time for the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word and sacraments, the maintenance of Christian fellowship and discipline, the edification of believers, and the conversion of the world. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace which it alone supplies. And now, confirmands, Sherman, Charlie, Marshall, Madeline, Jay, Skyler, do you, in the presence of God in this congregation, renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Do you believe in God the Father? I would like us all to join together in answering these questions, which spell out the earliest creedal statements of our faith. Confirmands and congregation, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
And to the confirmands only I ask, do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy word and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful members of Christ's holy church? Would you please kneel? Sherman, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Charlie, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Marshall, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Madeline, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jay, the Lord defend you by his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Skylar, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now you have been confirmed in the faith of the Church Universal. I ask you to stand, still facing me. And I'll ask you if you're going to live out that faith in the United Methodist Church and in this particular Main Street United Methodist Church. Here's the question. Not for a universal faith, but for a particular faith right here in this community, in this church, in these Sunday school classes, in this youth program, in this worship service. Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? I'll ask you to face the congregation, to sort of make a parting path so the congregation can see these confirmands. Congregation, brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care these persons whom we this day receive into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ, that surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. And now I'm going to call forward the chair of our administrative board, Isaac Schaefer, who's going to greet them and hand out the boxes of gifts that you, the congregation, has given them.
Some of you know me and some of you don't. My name is Isaac, and I'm the chairman of the administrative board. It used to be called the Board of Stewards. The Board of Stewards consists of representatives of every facet and every activity of this congregation. So on behalf of all members of Main Street, I want to welcome you as members. Having made your decision to commit to the church and make God part of your life, congratulations is due this congregation and your family for fulfilling the promise made when you were baptized, to make this day available to you. To help you remember this day, members have put special mementos in these boxes, which you can turn around. They're right on the railing for you. Again, welcome and congratulations.
Now, for a blessing, you'll remain seated, and after the closing hymn, I'm going to have them stand with me in the narthex to be greeted by the congregation further. Now, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and the comfort and the presence of God the Holy Spirit, even in this moment. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.